All right, praise the Lord. Let's open up to hymn number 29 tonight. I'm so glad that one of these days...
Let's get there.
Yeah! Mary says, I can't wait. Let's get there now. When we all get to heaven. And we're going to sing the first, third, and fourth. Praise the Lord for this good old hymn of the faith. Oh, thanks, Ash.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold.
Amen!
Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord for that victory that Jesus brings. I'm so glad tonight that we've got it. We've got it present tense. Oh, what a blessing to know the Lord. All right, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight at this time and open up to the book of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. Tonight we're taking a night off from our studies in the book of Jude because of our specially appointed prayer meeting tonight. And before we get to our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord's given me a special message for us tonight. I want to read something to you and why I'm preaching what I'm preaching and why we're doing what we're doing tonight. This is a personal friend of mine in India. I have over 4,900 preacher friends on LinkedIn. This is one of them. Kindly pray for God's protection in our lives from the hands of radical Islamics in India. Dear Pastor, greetings to you in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are very glad to share with you that God has given us burden and vision in our lives to reach specifically to Muslims in India by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have dedicated our lives into His hands to be used according to His will and plan in our lives. Our Lord Jesus is using us to fulfill His plan and will in and through our lives. Already, several Muslim men and women surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. They are following His teachings now. They are witnessing about Jesus and their testimonies to their relatives and neighbors who are Muslim. God is adding more men and women to our worship services almost every week for His own glory. But militant Muslims, radical Islamists, are often torturing physically and trying to kill us and the believers from Muslim background for their new faith in Jesus Christ. See, they become Christian, and the Muslims that were their friends before, they want to kill them. Even though we are facing heavy persecutions here and threats by the militant Muslims, but our Lord Jesus is using our lives for the extension of His kingdom, and He has protected us for His own glory. Militant Muslims are constantly trying to murder us. See, folks, we don't see this in America yet. We don't see this in America yet. And that's why a lot of God's people, you notice we have some empty pews tonight. A lot of God's people are asleep because they don't understand the reality of what's happening in the world to God's people. Listen, but our Lord Jesus is using our lives for the extension of his kingdom. And he has protected us for his own glory. They have angelic protection. Militant Muslims are constantly trying to murder us. Our lives are in danger at this moment. I'm writing this letter. We are in great need of your kind prayers in our own lives. They're begging for prayer. They don't want money. They want prayer. Amen? We are in great need of your kind prayers in our own lives and for the persecuted believers here. Humbly we request you kindly pray for God's protection for us from the hands of militant Muslims. Please also pray that we might be always faithful to his call in our lives and grow in him. We humbly request you kindly write few words to us for our encouragement. With regards, loving Christ, Bashir and Aisha, his wife. Folks, these... P.S. Kindly pray for our house church fellowship, discipleship ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, healthcare ministries for the women and children, and compassion ministries, such as our distributing of clothes and blankets to the poor children and saris to poor women. I'm not sure what a sari is. Free tuition to the needy students, feeding to the poor children, helping to the persecuted believers, those who lost their sources of income and houses for their faith in Jesus Christ. Educational help to the poor and needy students, providing nutrients for malnourished children. They're begging us to pray for them. Amen? It doesn't cost you anything except to get on your knees. And folks, tonight I want to talk to you about prayer. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And let's stand for the reading of God's holy word tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I say unto you, church, tonight, we have an awesome obligation before God. We have an awesome responsibility that must be carried out in these last days. There's no time left, folks. We need to get busy about our Father's business. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And beloved, I want to speak to you tonight briefly on a sermon I've entitled, Intercessors Needed. Intercessors needed. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the word of God. How I thank you for this gathering of the saints tonight, oh God. They're here to intercede on the behalf of those who are in dire need tonight. Lord, I thank you that there's still faithful men and women of God that still pray and seek your holy face, that still obey your will and word, that still seek to serve the Lord Jesus in these last days. Father, I thank you that we have them here tonight in church. I ask your blessings upon them, O God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd enlighten the eyes of our understanding concerning this critical passage on prayer and intercession and supplication. Lord, give us hearts to pray. Lord, help us to pray like we've never prayed before in these last days. The time is short. The days are evil. The Lord's coming back. And oh God, there's one thing that every one of us can do, and that is pray and pray some more. Lord, bless us as we look into your word now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, beloved. Don't turn there, but in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, we read that the Lord wondered that there was no intercessors. There was no intercessors. And he saw that there was no man to stand up for the people. Beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is looking down from upon his church tonight, and I believe that he is wondering why his people are not seeking his face, bombarding the throne of heaven, and praying like we've never prayed before. Folks, we must understand the urgency of the hour. There's no time left for games. Amen? We need to pull out all the stops and serve him like we've never served him. I believe this evening that this message is long overdue, church. And I want you to know that I am preaching it because we all need it. Amen? We all need to be reminded that prayer is the beginning of seeking God's face. Now listen, this privilege of prayer, this ability to make intercession for people on planet Earth, is the unique God-given weapon of the church. It's a weapon that's not being used much today. And yet I'm afraid the most neglected weapon of all, prayer. I want to speak to you tonight on intercessors needed. In so doing, I want to give you four things and I'll be done. Four reasons why intercessors are desperately needed. The first reason is because of its critical importance. Look with me in verse number one. The first reason intercessors are needed is because of its critical importance. Verse number one. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Glory to God, church. Paul tells us here that the first thing we need to do is pray. Amen? Glory to God. We want to get a new building, a bigger building. We want to outgrow this building. But first of all, prayer. We want to add families and grow numerically. But first of all, prayer. We desire to have a Bible college, train up people to go out and preach the gospel. But first of all, prayer. We want to have a big youth group. But first of all, prayer. We want to support more missionaries. But first of all, prayer. We want to have our own marriage encouragement retreat center and all kinds of special meetings. But first of all, prayer. Beloved, we need to pray and pray and pray some more. Why? It's of critical importance. It's of critical importance because Paul says, first of all, we need to pray. And we need to intercede. And we need to seek God's face on the behalf of this wicked world in which we live. Beloved, go to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and hold your place in 1 Timothy. We're coming right back. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. Watch what the man of God Samuel said about it. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, the people rejected God. They said, we want to be like all the nations. We want a king. We want a president in the White House. Look what he says in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Be careful what you ask for. Yeah. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil in asking a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve him with all your heart. And sure turn ye not aside. For then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain, worthless. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Samuel says, people, don't worry. I would never stop praying for you. Amen? They said, Samuel, please, please pray to God for us. Listen now, beloved. Prayerlessness. Look at verse 23. Don't miss this. In verse 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray. Folks, you got to get a hold of this. Samuel says, if I should not pray, it'd be sin. Because I know I'm supposed to. Amen? Listen, prayerlessness is not only a sin against our own souls, but it is a sin against our fellow man. Are you listening? It would be a sin for me not to pray for that dear brother in India tonight. He's begging me to ask you to pray for him. How could I possibly forsake that responsibility? It's a sin against our own souls. It's a sin against our fellow man. But worse than that, Samuel says in verse 23 that it is also a sin against God himself if you cease to pray. It's a sin against God. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Listen carefully, beloved. I remember the first night Miriam and I arrived on the mission field in Colorado. The year was 1993. It was 11:30 p.m. We didn't have our own place yet. We were in a motel. And Brother Griggs, my mentor, Brother Griggs knocked on my door, the motel door, at 11:30 that night. We were sound asleep. And he woke me up to go to the hospital to pray and intercede for a man named McGarry. McGarry was the first Native American I ever met. And the Lord used that man to burden me to be a missionary to the natives. And so we got up to the hospital, and old McGarry, he's in the ICU. And so me and Brother Greaves were preachers, so they let us right in. He says, "We gotta pray." They said he's not gonna make it through the night. And so we go in there, and McGarry, he's got tubes coming out of him, you know, he's got hooked up to IV, and oh my goodness, he's a mess, right? McGarry was he had been a real drunk, real alcoholic, bad. He had sclerosis, and he had a number of medical problems. But the problem he had this night was that his lungs were filled up with fluid from pneumonia. Okay, he was dying. And the doctor comes over to Brother Griggs and I, and he says, "Do you know, does he have any family? Because he's not going to live through the night. He's about to die." And Brother Griggs called his sister. He had one sister. That's all the family he had. She comes up to the hospital, and it's in the middle of the night. We're praying. Me and Brother Greece, we'd hold hands over him. He'd pray, you know, for 20 minutes, and I'd pray for 20 minutes, and he'd pray. McGarry, he's still alive. You know, the Lord's keeping him alive. But, the doctor came in and said, his sister said we should take him off of life support. They had him on life support. And she said, "Pull the plug. What do you guys say?" And we both looked at each other and said, "No way, man." And we bowed our heads. We kept praying. You know what? McGarry came out of the coma. And McGarry woke up during that night. He woke up and he received Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin. He got saved, came to our church, our mission church, and served God for the rest of his life. He did die a couple years later. He died. But the guy, you know, they're ready to pull the plug. That's how the world is. They want to give up on you. They want to quit on you. And God says, "No, I'm not done with it." Amen? Oh, folks, if we didn't intercede, I believe God would have taken him that night.
Yes.
But we went and we prayed and we sought God for McGarry, and he lived. Listen, it was of critical importance that we get to that hospital and pray for this man. Why? Because intercessors are needed. It's of critical importance. But something else tonight, quickly. Secondly, intercessors are needed because of its broad scope. Look at me in verse 1 again. Because of its broad scope. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in God, all godliness and honesty. Notice the scope of the prayer intercession that's needed. It says all men. Wow! You mean all the earth, Lord? Yep. All of them. Listen carefully, beloved. I'm so glad tonight that our God cares about all people. He wants us to intercede for all people. He wants us to seek his face for all people. Because his son died for all people. Amen? Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hold your place in Timothy again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at this verse. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Notice that comes before verse 17. You can't go to the Lord, "Oh, I'm just down, I just want to die. Oh, Lord, bless me." It's not going to work. Rejoice evermore. Then pray without ceasing. Folks, we need to be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Without ceasing means all the day long. Amen? And prayer is not, you know, fasting for 7 days and then going prostrate at the altar on your face before God. That's a good thing to do. But that's not what he's talking about. Pray without ceasing is... what is prayer? Communicating with God. Be in a state of communication with the Lord all the day. Listen, what I do at work, when somebody, you know, I see this guy and he's got a big problem, I go right away to pray for him. I don't delay, because you'll forget. But look what he says here. Pray without ceasing. Go back with me to Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, watch what the Lord Jesus says concerning prayer. It's a good thing to do. It's a necessary thing. It's of critical importance. And it's got a very broad scope. Look with me in Luke chapter 18. And look with me at verse 1. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought, what's the next word?
Always
to pray and not to faint. Beloved, listen to me. You got to pray and pray and pray, because if you don't, you'll faint. You know what happened to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? The Lord said, can you not pray with me for 1 hour? They all fainted, passed out. Whoo! Whoo! Why? They weren't praying. They fell asleep. And so many of God's people today are asleep at the helm when we need to get busy and get on our knees. Why? Because souls are in the balance, beloved. It's so important. It's such a broad scope. Listen carefully. Our cities today are in desperate need of intercessors. Our churches today are in equal need of intercessors. Our families, church, are in desperate need of intercessors. Our marriages are in desperate need of intercessors. Our kids today are in great need of intercessors. Our nation, our leaders, and our teachers are all in need of intercession. Intercessions are needed today because of its broad scope. Worldwide, universal scope. When we're making intercession for all, we must remember that the all for whom Jesus Christ died. Amen? I remember when Zena, our oldest daughter, was 5. We had just gotten to Bible college in New York. The year was 1988. We get to New York. We get set up. We got a place to live. And Zena, she's 5 years old. She had seizures when she was little. Scary ones. Stop breathing once. She had a bad one. My sister, bless her soul, her and her husband, Mike, were visiting at the time. And so they were there to pray with us. Zena went into one of her, she was sick and she went into a seizure. And she stopped breathing. At least I perceived, because I was trying to see for a heartbeat and trying to feel if there was any breath. Nothing. You want to know when you're going to pray and you're going to pray hard? When your kid stops breathing.
That's right.
Amen? And we got Ellie and Mike and Miriam and I. And we all, oh, Lord Jesus, make her breathe. Lord Jesus, make her breathe. Please, Lord Jesus, please. We were seriously seeking the Lord for her. Well, time the paramedics got there. And I said to him, I don't think she's breathing. And he got down and he scoped her. And he said, she's breathing real, real slow. You can't even sense it. They kept her alive, got to the hospital. She was okay. Today she doesn't have seizures. Praise God. She needed an intercessor right there. She needed somebody to seek God for her. She couldn't do it on her own. Amen? Beloved, something else I want you to see tonight. Intercessors are needed because of its compelling incentives. Notice its compelling incentives. Back in 1 Timothy 2. Look at verse 3. You know there are incentives to prayer. God gives them to you. Look at this, verse 3. For this is good. It's a good thing to do. And acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have some men to be saved. Nope, wrong version. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, Mr. Calvinist, to be testified in due time. It's an unlimited atonement. Brethren, listen carefully. Intercessors are needed, and our God has given us some powerfully compelling incentives for us to do so. Why? I want to mention 4. The first incentive I see in our text is because this is the will of God. Look at verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. First of all, he's talking about verse 1, prayer, supplication, intercession. And he says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have us to do so. Amen? It's the will of God that you pray. Listen carefully, beloved. If in his grace, God is willing, listen to what I'm about to say. In his grace, he is willing tonight to save all men all over the world and to bring them to the knowledge of his truth. If they will repent and believe the gospel. So, listen, in praying for all men, we are in line with the divine will of God and helping the fulfillment of his plans and purposes on the earth. Did you hear what I said? I said, by praying for all men, you are in the will of God. You can know that He's going to hear that prayer. He's going to save that lost loved one at work. He's going to save that lost family member. He's going to save that friend that you've known for 40 years and they're not yet saved. Because why? It's His will. And if we pray according to His will, we know that He heareth us. Glory to God. Secondly, another incentive I see for us to pray and intercede is because of the ransom price that was paid. Look at verse 6. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Folks, listen to me. When you see that lost, reprobate, wicked sinner, know that Jesus died for him. And Jesus wants him to be saved, though he may not. He died for him. Listen, do you know what a ransom is? A ransom is when one is kidnapped, taken against their own will. A ransom must be paid in order for that one to be released. Okay? Now, the devil is the great kidnapper. The devil kidnaps human souls. And there needs to be a price paid to get them back. Guess what? Jesus paid that price. He says in verse 6, He gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Listen to me, beloved. There is ample provision in the blood of Jesus Christ and in the will of the Father for the salvation of all men. But He expects us to pray for it. Amen? You are a link. You are important because you are a conduit between God and men. You pray for them. He'll hear that prayer. Thirdly, another incentive is because there is only one way for them to be saved. Look at it. Verse 5. For there is... how many?
One God.
One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. His name is not Buddha. His name is not Muhammad. His name is Christ Jesus. There is only one way that they can escape. Listen to me. That they can escape eternal damnation by Christ Jesus. When you realize the implication of that statement, you will pray for them. You will get on your knees and get busy for God and for these precious souls that need salvation. I like that. In a frightening verse though, in Psalm 49, down around verse 11, it says, the salvation of his soul ceaseth forever when they die. They can never be saved after they take their first breath. How horrifying. What an amazing incentive to prayer and intercession this is, beloved. When we come to the full realization that the eternal Son of God, in the likeness of men, is our personal mediator to the Father. And He wants to be the mediator for all men. Another incentive. Fourthly, a fourth incentive is because we have been ordained by God to this intercession. Look with me in verse 7. Don't miss this. Whereunto I am ordained. Don't let that word throw you. This is how I like to explain it to folks. I don't want to get into the Greek. It simply means God ordered. God ordered. Amen? Ordered by God. I am ordered, ordained, a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now, Paul says here that we have all been ordained by God. Amen? Go to John 15. Thank you, Lord. John 15. That word ordained, it means ordered. Look at this. Appointed. In John 15, don't miss this. Jesus is speaking to His disciples, words in red. You know you've been ordained? Look at it. Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And what?
Ordained you.
That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Jesus says, I have ordained you, ordered you to go forth and bring forth fruit. That's souls. Soul salvations. Amen? And He says that when you pray, my Father will answer you in my name. He says, you have been ordered by God. Beloved, listen, Christianity is not a game.
No.
Christianity is no monkey business. Amen? Like they play in the White House. Christianity is a life surrendered to God. It is a life that God lives through. Are you listening? Oh, I'm so glad tonight that Jesus has ordained me to bring forth some fruit and to pray in his name. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:7, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Do you love him tonight, church? Oh, I know you do. You're in God's house tonight. All right, we've seen that intercessors are needed because it's critically important, because of its broad scope, because of its compelling incentives. But fourthly and finally, intercessors are needed because of its universal command. Look at verse 8. Don't miss this in closing. Verse 8. By the Holy Ghost, he says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Oh me, oh my, church, tonight I want you to see in closing that prayer and intercession and supplication before God's throne is not an option. It's a command. Amen? It's not whether I feel like doing it. My Lord tells me I must. It is not a suggestion to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. Amen? Is Jesus Lord? If Jesus is Lord, I am his servant. I need to obey his marching orders. I want to give you three ways that we can obey this command. Three ways that you can obey it. First, by personal sanctification. Look at it. Verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up, what's the next word?
Holy hands.
Holy hands. Listen to me, beloved. Personal sanctification is required if you are going to pray and be an intercessor for the lost. Amen? Why? Because if you've got sin, if you've got a dirty hands and a dirty heart, God's not going to answer your prayer. This isn't Copeland Ministries here. This isn't Osteen. This is the Bible. Amen? We have to be sanctified if God's going to hear us. And beloved, how necessary is it that he hears us when people are dying and going to hell? Man, there needs to be some sanctification in our lives. We need to seek God. We need to be in this book and let the Holy Spirit sanctify us, clean up our act, if you will, so that we can reach God's throne. Oh, beloved, it's so important. One way you can obey this command is by personal sanctification. Secondly, another way you can obey this command is by love and forgiveness for those who've hurt you. Look at verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. Without wrath. That is, what's wrath? That's anger. That's anger demonstrated, poured out, right? It says, without wrath. He's saying, if anyone has hurt you, forgive them. Forgive them. Don't hold a grudge. Don't hold anger and wrath in your heart. God won't hear your prayer. God will not hear your prayer if you've got wrath against somebody. And when you go to pray, you need to forgive. Amen? Something else. How can we obey this command? Thirdly, by strong faith. By strong faith. Look at verse 8. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. And doubting. And doubting. He says, don't doubt. Be strong in faith, giving glory to God. You don't have to doubt that your Father hears your prayer, beloved. And you don't have to doubt that he will answer that prayer according to his will. Amen? Pray without doubting. You know, sometimes we pray like this. Well, Lord, I know I got that electric bill coming, and I don't know where that money's going to come from. I might get the light shut off. Yeah, I'll just get the light shut off. That's not believing God. Amen? Listen, folks, we need to pray without doubting. We need to pray in strong faith. And he has given us so many reasons to believe that he will answer our prayers. Listen to me. We will intercede successfully if we obey this command in these three ways: by personal sanctification, by love and forgiveness, and by strong faith. In closing, listen closely. When Abraham interceded for the doomed cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God saved Lot and his two daughters. Amen? When Moses interceded for the Israelites by holding up his staff to God, the Amalekites were defeated decisively. Listen, when Elijah interceded on Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal, the fire came down. When Job interceded for his mistaken friends who were condemning him, God forgave them all. Yeah, and one more. When the man of sorrows acquainted with grief, who was bruised for our iniquities, yet made intercession for the transgressors, was taking his final breath on that cross, he interceded for us by saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Oh yeah. Praying and making intercession to God pays. It works. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? Intercessors are needed. The world is going to hell. Terrorists are on the loose. The Lord is coming back. And we need to be intercessors for Jesus Christ in these last days. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for Jesus Christ, our Lord. How we thank you that in his name devils tremble, mountains move, lives are transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you, dear Lord, that you instruct us so clearly in your word to seek your face and you will answer. I love that verse in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, you said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and pray and intercede, I will hear from heaven and heal their land, O God. We need a healing in America tonight. And Lord, we're about to bombard your throne in Jesus' name for it. We thank you for the privilege of prayer tonight. O Lord, help us to never forget that we need to daily seek your face. There's so many requests that need to be made to you, Lord. The list goes on and on and on. We'll never run out of things to pray about. That's for sure. The needs, the broad scope. Oh my. The critical importance. Intercessors are needed. It's a command of our Father. And we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can obey it in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord, folks. We're going to skip a closing hymn tonight because we're going to do something better. We're going to pray. Amen. We're going to go to the Lord. We're going to seek his face. And we're going to make intercession for the needs of this world. Glory to God.